You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
What are you laughing about, Jack?
I feel like this episode needs to start with a scat. I don't know why. I was in a really big mood to scat, but you don't want to hear that from me.
I was already scatting over it, man. I was in my own zone. Did you feel it?
Yeah, I felt it.
It was like watching me scatting right there was like watching Disney's Soul and kind of like understanding what the zone was. Do you get it?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's deep.
Gotta be a similar feeling of when Richard Riaz Yoder taps. Gotta be.
Totally. Totally. The rhythm, the drum. He is the drum. Like he says, he is the drum.
And is anybody else like this? When everyone says feel the rhythm, is anyone saying feel the rhyme afterwards?
They must.
Like, get on up.
Mm-hmm.
It's bobsled time. Cool Runnings! Everyone has probably stopped listening to this and watched Cool Runnings right now.
Cool Runnings. That's where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Okay. Brendan, I'm so excited. Today we have Richard Riaz Yoder with us.
Very
incredible,
true.
Incredible, incredible person who I know here from St. Louis, the Muni, but incredible journey, right? He grew up and, you know, had his kind of, I'll call it basic training, the most respectful way I say that. Basic training, went to school. He mentions how he's the beginner in every class at school, finds his way. He ends up, you know, touring the world. He's been all over the world performing on Broadway in about six or so Broadway shows. So he is, I think, a perfect example of someone who, you know, has that path of chugging through and making the best of it for himself. And truly, there's no right or wrong path. I love that about his story.
Literally, like, yeah, the determination and basic training, and then cut to like learning, inspiring from, and creating with Savion Glover was so. It's just like from like just beginning to fruition. It's so cool to watch. And just could be nicer though, right? This guy could be nicer.
Terrible.
Ugh.
I mean.
God, these humans. Where do we find them?
It's no good though. It's no good. We can't.
But get ready for some laughs. Get ready for some just like joy, exhilaration, and just pure good human soul. So, Jack, what do you say?
5, 6, 7, 8. That's his fade out. So, in case anyone's listening, be like, where did Brendan just go? That was his pretend fade out into our segment, and.
Play the music.
From the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, hello, Richard. I mean, why not? Start with a cracked well and get right into it.
A cracked well. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Hello. Richard. How are you guys?
So fantastic. You know, warmed up today. Feel like my body got loose. Feeling good about it. I'm honestly a little sore from a rock climbing expedition I went on. But that's neither here nor there.
Wait a minute. You went rock climbing when there's a snowstorm out?
So it was at the tail end of said snowstorm here in New York City. And there was like this like Central Park gym or Central Rock gym. Mm. So if you're listening, Central Rock gym, I could use a discount. little plug here.
Yeah, they're here.
But it was fantastic. And it's muscles I've never used before. And surprise respect for a sport and athletes that, oh man, it was impeccable to watch. But
it's kind of like it's one of those things like skiing where you walk away from it, you're like, what just happened to my body?
truly. Oh my god, I haven't been skiing in years. Well, today I think we're going to talk a lot about tap. We're going to talk a lot about just dance in general. But wonderful. Jack, give Richard the lowdown of how we like to start these.
We start every podcast. We just want to hear about your first 5, 6, 7, 8. How did dance start for you? Where did Richard come into this journey of movement and dance and performance? And just kind of take us through your start, kind of up to where you are now.
Oh, so I think when I first started dancing, I was in show choir in high school, and we had like the whole purple sequence. We had all of this stuff. And so I that was like my first introduction to dance or whatever. And so then from there, I started wanting to do more dancing, like because there was some like dancers in the show choir. And so one day a couple of them were doing a time step and I was like, oh, what is this sorcery that you are doing with your feet? I don't think I'd ever seen somebody tap dance in front of me. I'd seen it on like a movie, like the Nicholas Brothers or Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, and all of those people, but I had never seen somebody do it actually in front of me. So I was like, oh my God, you guys have to teach me. What is this? So then from little 17-year-old Richard, like trying to learn how to do, not even how to do a flap or whatever, how to do a time step. So it's like a whole bunch of different steps altogether. So they tried to teach me and I got whatever I thought it was. And then from there, I just was obsessed. So I would be tap dancing down the halls. I would be tap dancing in grocery stores. I would be tap dancing everywhere because I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done before. And I can make all this sound. It's great. So then my mom took me to a woman that was teaching, that used to teach my sister's dance. And so I went to her studio and she took me there to teach me like jazz classes and things like that. And so to help me kind of get up to speed, she started doing private lessons with me. And one day I was showing off. I was like, oh, this is what I know how to do. I know how to do this time step. And she was kind of like, oh, okay, well, why don't we try to refine it? Because it was terrible. I wish I had a video of it because it looked like I had two left feet. And so then she started working with me, and she always remembers this. She showed me a step, and not thinking about it, I just did it, whatever the step was. I think it was like toe heel stamp and something else. And I did it right away, and she looked at my feet, and then she looked at me, and she said, I can't believe you just did that. And I was like, I just saw what you did. So then from there, that's kind of what got me on this journey. So then I went, I think it was the St. Louis Tap Festival. I went and took class at the St. Louis Tap Festival, and I took a class from Omar Edwards, and he is amazing. He's one of the best tap dancers out there, but he didn't say anything about counts or steps. It was like ebop, ebop, su-do, ba-da-ba-da, do-do-do-ba. Like that's all it was. And so I was like, what is happening right now? I was like, this dude is scatting at me and I do not know what he's talking about. And he was like, especially with the feet, he would just go. And so I was like, there's this whole other world that opened up to me. So then from there, my mom was like, what do you want to do for college? What do you want to do when you are done with high school? What's happening? What are we thinking? And I was like, I have no idea. And I was like, maybe I'll be a lawyer or something like that. They make lots of money, right? And she was like, yeah, this is kind of what it's like to be a lawyer. And so she started talking to me about like, these are the things that you need to do. This is like the kind of schooling that you would need. And this is how long you would have to go to school. And I was like, yeah, that's not for me. And then she was like, well, what else would you want to do? And I was like, she said, what would you do if you didn't have to earn money? And I said, oh, I would dance. I said, I would dance and I would perform. I was like, I don't know how to do that, but that's what I would do. So then from there, she took me, her and my dad, we went to 10 different schools and I auditioned for all of them and I got cut from all of them besides two. Yeah, I think it was Ohio University. I can't remember. But then I ended up going to Oklahoma City University. And God bless them because I couldn't do anything. I remember during the audition, oh my gosh, during the audition was hilarious because they wanted everybody to do tombé pas bourré, pirouette land, you know, simple, easy for people that had been dancing for like 10, 20 years. Great. Mm-hmm. Or 17 years. That would be easy for them. So I didn't know what any of the steps were. So all I did was just try to pick up whatever they were doing. And I would do it, but I didn't know how to pirouette. So I would just like stand in a releve kind of.
Sure.
Kind of maybe. And then land. And then it was the most horrifically embarrassing. Like I didn't have emotions like that when I was younger. I was like, I don't care. I'll do anything. But I like thinking about that now, that would have been mortifying. If I had to do something like that now that I didn't have the ability to do it. Like there was no way I could suddenly become a ballet dancer in the 5 seconds that they taught this combination. So I literally just like threw myself into it. And they said one of the reasons why I got in, obviously wasn't because of my dancing technique, because it was terrible. I was awful. They said because I didn't stop. Because there were people, there were some people that had been dancing since they were two that sadly went to terrible studios. And so they didn't really have the ability to do anything, which was also very sad to see. But those people stopped. Like there are a lot of people that left the college audition. And I think about that now. And I didn't even worry about it. I was like, no, I want to go to school for this. So I'm going to do it. And when we were driving home, I knew I didn't get it. I was like, oh, there's no way I was going to get into that school because I was so terrible. And my parents tried to comfort me and it was like an 8-hour ride and we barely said anything. Mm. So then, and then I got into the school.
Surprise.
Like, what were the chances? What are the chances of that? So, and then I went to school and then I went to Oklahoma City University. I was at the basic level of everything. They have like each discipline has like 8 levels. And so I was just like at the base of everything because I couldn't do anything. So that was my start. I know that was very long-winded, but that was a start.
No, but before you continue, I want to comment on, so you have this thing of you get shown a step and you're just like, I've never seen it before, but I'm just going to like dive in, just do it. I mean, yeah, in our adult lives, I mean, you have this thing of just like, oh, I've never seen this before. I'm going to like just check back and get nervous, anxious, all this stuff, because like real life and adult responsibilities hit us a little harder now. I think there's such beauty in the innocence of kind of just jumping in when you're younger that I think I just want to like just highlight for a moment and say that that's, I mean, I've always watched you as a dancer, Richard, and I think there's something so innocent. I think there's so... That's the word that I get with. It is proficient and it is clean and it is downright perfect. But there's this joy of innocence that you see like only in like laughing children that I see in the Richard Ruiz Yoder dancing.
Well, thank you. It's funny that you say that because it's like the past couple of years, I've been trying to get back to that. I've been trying to get back to that joy. I've been trying to get back to, especially during this pandemic, just getting back to the actual joy of why we started to do things. Because when I came to New York, I wasn't planning on doing musicals. I wasn't planning on doing Broadway or anything like that. What I wanted to do, I wanted to join a tap company. Like that was the end all and be all. I didn't even really think about, I loved going to see Broadway shows, but I was never like, oh, I'm going to do that. That was never even a thought for me. I was just like, I want to be in a tap show or a tap company, and I want to work and I want to work with those people and do that thing. And then musicals started to come my way. And so I was like, well, maybe this is something that I can do because I was able to do that. I was able to tap in shows. So once I knew that I could tap dance and do musicals at the same time, or just dance and mainly do musicals at the same time, then I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. And then it was getting to be at home in St. Louis doing 42nd Street that kind of sealed the deal for me when it came to musicals. I was like, oh, I can like make enough money to survive. I can have so much fun on stage, and I can, it kind of opens me up to do different things. So it was just magic.
Mm. And your resume so far has been tapping in almost every single show you do, which is incredible.
I know, what a blessing.
I mean, you've done 42nd Street all around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like in every regional theater and every, like it feels like you've just done it everywhere, yeah, which is amazing. And then even Broadway, I mean, Shuffle Along, crazy, unbelievable. I remember seeing you in that. And there, this one moment that sticks out in my head is there was. Now, listen, I couldn't tell you what part of the show this was, yeah, but it was, I remember you were, it was a line of people downstage. And you were on far stage left, and you knew I was at the show. And I don't know what was involved in this bit of choreography. I guess you could kind of make it your own for a moment. Yeah. But it was like almost like the button to a segment before it transitioned to something else. And Richard gets on one foot on the like tippy toe of his tap shoe and like claps his other leg above his head. And I, when I tell you I screamed in a Broadway theater, I mean,
oh, I love you.
I mean, that screamed. Was... And then we talked about it afterwards. He's like, I heard you. And I was like, what do you mean? Like trying to play it off all cool. I was like, no, I totally, I mean, it was amazing. But Shuffle Along on the 20th Century, Dolly, no tapping in there, but I mean, another iconic show. And White Christmas and My Fair Lady, of course, White, yeah, Christmas' debut, correct?
Yes, that was my debut. And I didn't get, it's funny, there's a funny story about that. So the first time that I auditioned for it, and because the original production, I believe it was in 2008, was the original White Christmas Broadway production. And so I auditioned for it and I didn't get it. So I was so sad. Oh, so sad. So I worked that whole next year. I took all of Randy's classes and took whatever singing thing I needed to do, whatever act. I worked that combination so many dang times. And then the next time when I ended up auditioning again, that's when I got it. So wow. It, for me, it was that ultimate, like, don't give up kind of moment. Because I knew, I was like, I'm going to get that show. I was like, there's no way that anybody else is going to get that show but me. And then I ended up getting it the next year. And it was like, what a blessing that was. To be with all those nice people, to be doing a show. And it gave me a taste of Broadway because it was only like 2 months. So it was like, oh, this is kind of what like Broadway's like. And I was like, I could get down with this. I get to be in the city. And I was living right around the corner. I was living on 40, I think I was living on 43rd and 8th or something like that, or 9th. And so I was like, I had a nice little 5-minute commute to work. Oh, life was great.
What a dream. What a
so
dream.
Grand.
Also, I just imagined, because Richie, you said, like, nobody's going to get that show but me. And then I immediately started picturing, like, the one-man White Christmas that is Richard Ramirez Yoder. I want to see that at some point.
I mean, the way I was dancing on that stage, it might as well have been, because I was living my life. When I tell
I believe
you,
it.
I was so happy to flat ball change in a circle.
Oh.
More than my entire life. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I didn't even know that. Because even after I'd gotten to New York, like, obviously Broadway's a gigantic thing, but in my brain, it wasn't that thing that I'm like, I have to have this. And then at one point in my career, I was just like, I wouldn't be on Broadway. Like, this is my thing. But getting to do White Christmas was just such an eye opener. And I was like, oh, this is, it was just wonderful.
I was going to say, just for like, for listeners out there, if there's ever been a more like, you know, determined story. I mean, we there's so many instances, and I want to point out this one of someone who, okay, auditioned to 10 schools, only got into 2, and then worked and worked and worked. And then when a huge Broadway audition came up, they're like, oh, this is mine, doesn't get it. What do? Work on it for an entire year, and boom, got it. So I just want to point out the work, and I want to point out that it happens to everybody. So I just I just want to say, keep doing the work.
And truly, to that same point, it's like we love to show how varied everyone's path is and in the different levels of training to still be able to become a Broadway performer. So I love the fact that your story, you pointed out that in all of your college classes, in specifically the dance classes, you said I was the beginner in every class. And
oh,
I love
gosh.
Hearing that because I know there's so many people who have reached out or who asked the question about like, oh, if I didn't start dancing in middle school, am I too late? Or, you know, questions like that. They feel like they're just behind. So it's great to hear that someone like you who has had an incredible career and obviously still moving forward in that has come from a place of, like you just said, beginner in every single class in college. So that's really, really, I think, incredible to point out. And one thing, I love that you are here because I don't know how much of the story Brendan knows, but Richard is truly the reason kind of like why I'm in all of this is a huge factor. I know I say this to Richard every time too, but so I believe our first meeting was before my first ensemble season, right? Because you were there at the Muni, correct? Mm-hmm. Or was 2000, because 2011 wasn't your first year.
The first time that I did the Muni was in 2009 because I did 42nd Street with Kelly Barkley, which is what helped me get White
I think
Christmas.
That's I think your first season at the Muni when you did 42nd Street, that was kind of my first meeting with you because I was a Muni teen behind you. So I like picked up your chair before you said like I was, you know, that's what I did.
Yes.
So,
oh my gosh, yes.
Oh, truly, yeah. But then in 2011, when I had my first ensemble season and I was in two of the three shows that I did with you, and I remember that summer you came up to me and was like, hey, have you ever heard of Newsies? And I was like, I mean, I know the movie, of course, and this is at the time when Newsies was at Paper Mill or just finishing up Paper Mill that summer. He was like, hey, have you heard of this? And I was like, yeah, I know the movie. He's like, well, they're doing it at Paper Mill. I know of the choreographer. I know he would just, like, eat you up. You should go in for this. And I was like, yeah, I'll keep an eye. Yeah, sure, I'll keep an eye out. Yeah. And, of course, you just kind of, like, put it over your shoulder for a second because at the time I was 16 and just got my card and I was like, what's happening? I don't even know. I had to get through the summer. You know what I mean? I was like, got a long way to go.
You're like, let me get to August and then we'll talk about it.
Totally. And I was kind of like, where am I going to find? Like, I didn't know anything yet. And then the Macy's Parade happened where y'all performed or the show did. And they announced for the first time they're going to Broadway. And I was like, the light bulb went off on my head. I was like, Richard told me about this. And then it was like, go to the internet, Jack, and look up the audition because they just said they're doing it because Richard told you about this. Like, this is the thing. This is the thing. So went and auditioned. And then, of course, that journey, you know, was its own beast. But Richard's truly the reason why any of my processes, I feel like kind of where I am now. Because that show obviously was one of the first times I was in the door for anything big that obviously led to other amazing experiences. But if I didn't hear about that, I would probably have a completely different path, or I know I would. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And
I think you owe Richard 10% of your entire career.
I'll take 10%. But yeah, the thing is about Jack, I just remember seeing him dance in that season and just like his demeanor and everything like that. And I was like, this kid is going to work like crazy. One, because he's so talented, but two, just because of how sweet and nice he is all the time. So, and the thing is, even if I hadn't said anything, you're such a star. Like your path might've been different, but it would have been just as soaring as it is right now. There's no way that it couldn't be because you were so fantastic.
That's very nice. Thank you. But truly,
I still want 10% though.
Oh, of course.
Hey. So Richard, speak to the fact, I mean, so And I just want to, I'm gonna segue this into the fact that, like, you're doing a show, you're doing Muni, you see somebody like Jack, and you're like, oh man, this guy's gonna be so great. He's got like the right demeanor. He's got exactly what he needs. And I know you've been now teaching for a long period of time, right?
Yeah.
So what is it about? I mean, the teaching aspect, and I assume just in shows and where you can see younger cast members. Speak to the fact of just like having this kind of, because we talk a lot about a mentorship on mm-hmm. on the show and about this, like, have you had great mentors that have kind of guided you into a path of, this is like, I now realize I'm seeing kind of the next generation and I want to help them along. Can you speak to kind of like that journey of how you got more into teaching too?
Yeah. So as soon as I got to the city, I tried to pick up any teaching gig that I could. So I started, I think my first one was teaching at Broadway Dance Center in, like, I think 2011, maybe. Sure. That or at Steps around that time. But so I've always just loved teaching so much. The fact that teaching has come back into my life after the pandemic, It's been such a blessing. The ability to create an income right now, when it's very rare for anybody to be able to do that, is not lost on me. I'm just so thankful for it. But one of the things that I always think about is I had a teacher, Robert Reed. He owned the St. Louis Tap Festival, or started the St. Louis Tap Festival, and he also was a teacher at OCU. And he is the reason why I tap the way that I do. He is the reason why I am the performer that I am right now, especially when it comes to tap dancing, because he completely took me under his wing. He did not have to do that, but he took me under his wing and he was like, I'm going to teach you every single thing that I can possibly teach you. And he was not easy on me. He was very hard. Like, he was one of those teachers that would put the ballet bar up and then would make you do over the tops with your head underneath it so you don't come up too high, because when you're doing over the tops, you're supposed to be down into the ground and everything like that. And so that's kind of how he was. And he pushed me every single day in class. And he kind of just always looked out for me, which is something that I know helped me so much. So yeah, that's the person that I would say that most influenced me at that particular time. And right now, Savion, he is honestly just such a well of information. And one thing that both of them had in common is that they really wanted to make sure that every time that you teach a step, or every time that you're doing something, that you're learning about where the steps came from, where's the history with it. And a lot of the history with tap dancing is so much in Black culture that a lot of it gets lost, sadly, especially in music theater. A lot of the basis of tap dancing is with the Black culture, and it's like, it just gets lost. And people are like, oh, Susan Stroman was the one that came up with the chorus line of women tap dancing. But that's not true, because that was originally from Shuffle Along in the 1920s. So it's like, yeah, being able to find out where that history is so special. And that's something that both of them instill in people so much. And I think about it, it's because the reason why I haven't gotten to do that recently, because I haven't been in, obviously nobody's been in shows, but mentoring people, it's like, even just a little encouragement or a little correction sometimes can make such a difference in somebody's life, or just so, or just encouragement, or looking out for somebody. It doesn't have to be a lot, but just a little bit can do so much for people. And I think about all the people that set me straight, especially when I first started doing music theater. I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I have to dance, and I have to say all these words, and I have to sing all this, and I have to remember blocking, and I have to remember where to pick up props. I have to remember all of this stuff. I didn't remember it when I was so green. It's so funny, because now people come out of college and high school, they're like, I can swing, I can do all of these things. It wasn't like that for me. I was a dancer that, like, then started working and doing all of this theater stuff. So there were so many people along the way that were like, yo, bro, that's not how you do that. Or sister girl, watch out, because there's a set piece coming in. So you need to look out. So it's like, I think I try to do that as much as I can for other people because I know that how much it meant to me. And I would not be where I am right now if each of those people didn't have like a little bit of grace when doing that. So
the ultimate pay it forward.
No, yeah, I mean, you, I think you have to. And I think that that's one thing that this, this pandemic has shown so many people. It's really about what you put out into the world that not even about getting it back, but it's what you're putting out into the world. Are you trying to be decisive? Are you trying to like split people apart? Are you really trying to like make an environment where people can learn? Are you trying to spread joy? Whatever that is, it's like what you're doing is what you would be doing in those disaster movies. You know, I always think about that. I'm like, we're in a disaster movie. What you would do, like when people are like, I would be the person that's doing that in a disaster movie. I would be doing that. I'd be doing that. No, whatever you're doing right now is what you would have been doing in that.
So in a zombie apocalypse, that's
yeah,
coming.
Exactly. If there's a zombie apocalypse, yeah. Are you going to be like sitting at home crying? Are you going to be getting out there trying to make something happen?
Absolutely.
It's very true.
We're just going to be teaching tap class for the next zombie.
Exactly. So I'm the person teaching tap class to somebody on Zoom while there's an apocalypse.
It's Richard's studio is like the only thing open on the street. It's like everything. Have you seen that meme?
We must dance.
Have you seen that meme of like a street that was just, you know, torched on fire, but then there's Millie in the center, like in her little flapper dress?
No, I have not seen that.
And yes, and the meme on top says this is 2022 on it.
Oh.
It is so brilliant. It is so brilliant. That's what I feel like this scenario is. It's like the street is on fire, but Richard is still there teaching class. Yes.
You know what? And that's it. You're not going to be able to keep me down. I'm going to dance somewhere. I'm going to do something. I'm going to try to spread joy as much as I possibly can because that's all that we have at this point.
That's right.
That class is going to be full. I'm just going to say it all out. The class is going to be full.
I would hope so. Come on.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Richard, I would love to dive into some Shuffle Along, if we could.
Of course.
We had Curtis Holland on the show and gave a little taste. I know. Can't get enough.
He is just everything.
Everything. Everything. So we got a small taste from him, but I would love to hear from your angle about the creation of Shuffle Along. So obviously with Savion, I like you just mentioned before, how much wisdom and knowledge he has. I just picture that rehearsal room just being like one like giant drool fest. Was everyone just in awe and like jaw to the floor when his feet would start moving and just like, I cannot believe I'm here right now. Like, that's my first question. I have many. But, like, I just picture that room to be like, what the heck is happening right now? This is unbelievable.
You know what? The funny thing is when it comes to especially that and his feet and just, like, being in awe of it, you don't have time to be in awe of his feet because you have to be picking up the step.
Mm-hmm.
He works so fast. The first couple of days, it was like, or let's see. So I'll go back. So the very first time that I worked with them, this is actually a funny story, the audition of it. So I had two shows. I was doing On the 20th Century. I had two shows one Saturday, and there was the audition for the show or for the first lab. Mm-hmm. And so there was an audition time for the women at 10 before my two shows. So I go there at 10 and I was like, I can't come to the guys' call, but can I be seen for the ladies' call? And at first the monitor was like, no, sorry, we're not going to do that. And I was like, listen, I'm getting into this audition because you ain't going to stop me. So, and I said, you can go and ask them, but I'm not leaving until I auditioned for Savion Glover. I was like, I'm just letting you know that. And at first you could tell the monitor kind of bristled. And I know that they have a hard job, but I don't care. I needed to get into that room. So then they talked to the casting and the casting came out and they were like, so you can't come to the guys' call? I was like, yeah, I can't, but I have two shows. I was like, you can even come see me in the show that I'm in if you would like to,
yeah,
to see me, yes, happen that. But I was like, I have to get to this. So got to audition for it and they called me back, but we were doing our cast recording for On the 20th Century that day. So I said, I can't come, but if you need me to send in any video or anything, that's fine. So then they called me on our lunch break to tell me that I got the first lab. And so they weren't saying if I was going to get everything else. And it was untitled. At that point, it was untitled project starring Audra McDonald.
Which anyone should sign up for.
Yeah, I was like, and Savion Glover and George C. Wolfe are in it. Of course, I'll do anything to be in that. Yeah,
no question.
So we go to the first day of doing the audition or of doing the lab, and we were doing a jazz piece. And me and my friend Amber, we were like, "Oh, this is gonna be great." We were doing like this jazz stuff, and then we're like, "We go do our show." We come back, and we're like, "Oh, we're just, this is gonna be great." So we go and do this thing, y'all. When we get back, they had learned part of a song called Graveyard Shuffle. And so that was the one that everybody knows now that had all the different lights and the suitcases when we're traveling. And so they had learned like half of it. And me and my friend Amber were trying to pick it up. And it was one of the most difficult things that I have ever done in my life. I was like, oh my gosh, my brain cannot take this. And so when we were walking back, because we had another show to do that night, me and Amber were like, this is going to be very rough. At first we were like, oh, we got this. And then we're like, oh, this is going to be so rough. So then, so that was like the very beginning of the first project. And then, watching his feet, it's incredible. It's because he moves. I don't know how to, it's so free. It's so free. There's no tension. There is just this cascading sound and rhythm, and he's completely cool the whole time. And he's making all of this stuff up, and it's just like everybody is struggling to get some of the steps. Everybody's working so hard to make sure that they're on top of it. And so the magic wore off pretty quick once we had to learn what the actual steps were, because if you just gaze at his feet too much, you're gonna get passed up. And one of my favorite things about the about that process was every time that he would give a tap class at the beginning of every rehearsal, and it would last for like 40 minutes, an hour sometimes. But there was one day, Audra was right here, Stokes was right here, Billy Porter was right there, Adrian Warren was right there, Joshua Henry, all of the other tap dancers in the show, and who are some of the best tap dancers I have ever worked with in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And everybody was working together to get the steps. It wasn't like Audra was like, I'm not going to do that. It was, she wanted to get it just as much as everybody else. And once people saw her doing that, we're like, oh, well, if she's working doing this, I want to do this too. Billy was doing the same thing. Stokes was doing the same thing. Everybody was working so hard to get each and every one of those steps. And no, there was no ego about it. Everybody was just like, I want to hit this step and I want to be good. There was nothing else to it.
And y'all hit this step because that is a show where when you walk into the theater, y'all are on stage behind the curtain and you hear people warming up and just tapping.
Oh.
And it's one of those where I walked in and you just hear a million sounds happening on their feet. And you just go, This is about to be something unbelievable because I was like, I've never heard so many sounds come out of someone's foot behind that stage. And I didn't see what they were doing, could just hear it. And I was like, this is going to be something. Okay.
That was one of my favorite pre-show things that I have ever been a part of. Whoever was on stage first would start going over whatever. And then somebody else would go. And so it was such a freeing thing because everybody was like, okay, I'm going to work on my step. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. We're going to do all these things. And then Billy started doing a prayer not like a prayer, but just like something to bring us together. And he would do it every day. And it was such a great thing to get everybody on the same page every single time before each performance. And there's a lot of stuff happening in the world, especially during that time. And we would talk about our emotions about a particular thing. And it was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had in my entire life is doing that show. I could have done that show for years. I would have loved it.
Okay, I mean, your ankles would have been hurting, I would imagine.
Oh, I wouldn't have even cared. I'd get some new ones at one point. I would have done that. I would have done that until I couldn't do it anymore.
Again and again.
I think, just speaking of like the beautiful community kind of like created in those kind of shows where, you know, I mean, Jack, you feel as an audience member, just the anticipation of hearing like this community and family about to like embark on this TAP journey. For me, I want to talk a little bit that's just a mention of just like the beauty of it all. Okay. So you hear someone say tombe pas de bourrée. That's like ballet language.
Yeah.
What have you. And then so TAP, I mean, I know that there's like flap, shuffle, like everything about this. I have a rudimentary understanding of TAP. And mm-hmm. But I think there's something that will always escape me that I feel like separates like I TAP and I'm a tapper.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if this is me trying to get some insider info for everybody. Is there a specific language to understand when you are watching a step, to learn a step, or just experiencing and executing it differently rather than like, oh, this is a lap or this is a shuffle. Mm-hmm. Like, is there something you see? How do you best learn or teach a step?
So I know that everybody learns. So I'll do how I'm teaching first before how I pick up steps. So when I'm teaching, I try to throw out as much terminology, rhythm, visual, because I know everybody learns differently. And so my job as a teacher is to figure out what clicks with each individual person, at least when I like to teach or when I get the chance to teach, especially with in class. I tune in to how people learn and I'm like, okay, so I know Susie Q over there likes flap ball change, shuffle step, and Sam likes jigadoo-gumbaba-doo-ba. And I'm keep thinking of name Derek over here likes to see what the actual step is. Yeah. So, or saying the rhythm, one e-anda, two e-anda, three e-anda, blah, 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 whatever. So I try to throw out as many as I possibly can so that people have something to latch on to. Because I know that that can be very hard sometimes when if you're like, I don't understand this step, how am I supposed to do it? And so if I just keep throwing those at people, then something's going to stick at one point. So that's kind of how I teach. So when I'm learning something, for me, it's rhythm first. Yeah. Because if you keep thinking about the steps, a lot of times the rhythm goes, and sometimes the rhythm will help you know what step is coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if you're only thinking about the steps and what the actual steps are, the rhythm could go completely out. And the thing is, we have to remember that we're still drummers. Yeah. Every individual tap dancer is a drummer with the music. At least that's how I think about it.
Ah, I mean, yeah. Cause you got to imagine like the body is an instrument, as we say, like in every kind of dance. And I think it's a genius way to think of like, yes, tap is rhythm based and all this stuff, but I don't think I've ever heard tap. A tap dancer is also the drummer. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I got that from Savion, and I got that from Dormisha Sumbry Edwards. She's one of the best tap dancers out there. And Jason Samuels, Chloe Arna, all of them will tell you that they are drummers, that that is the main thing that they are do. They are drummers that just so happen to be dancing as well, especially Savion. Savion is always, where are you in the pocket? Where is the one? Where is, where? What's your metronome? So a lot of times when people are tap dancing, I will always have them, I will always have them use their mouth as a metronome. So counting one, two, three, four, and then tap dancing with it. So that way they always hear how it fits with the music, because that's the main thing that we have to do. We have to stay with the music the whole time.
Right.
Totally. And I feel like adding or keeping that rhythm, as you said, kind of helps that performance aspect a little bit and helps you, I would say, kind of relax and feel it more rather than being like, I'm tap dancing all the time.
Yeah.
Like that tension just builds. And I feel like if you can feel that rhythm and, like you said, incorporate that sense of you are the drummer to it all, it just kind of will flow and become more of a natural feeling for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the people because who panic.
Because if you're worried about the steps and if you're worried about the rhythm the whole time, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to flow. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to be in flow and be in the moment of a particular thing. You're just going to be worried the whole time. And that's something I still work with. I think as a tap dancing artist, everybody should be reaching for that that ease as much as you can. Even no matter what step you're doing, we still need to be able to find some kind of like grounding zen within our tap dancing, within any dancing, really.
Totally, mm-hmm. Totally. Richard, we have two questions for you that had some folks write in on our social media, @again_podcast.
Ooh.
Our first question is from Isabel. Isabel says, what motivates you to keep improving?
I think what motivates me is that I don't want to be left behind. If I'm going to be completely honest, once everything starts coming back, I don't want to be like, oh, I should have worked a little harder, and then I'm gonna starting to fall back behind. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this anymore. No, as soon as we start letting all of that go, then it becomes harder and harder and harder to get back. So that's one of the main things. The other thing is that I'm still trying to figure out who I am as a dancer and a human and a person. And one of the things that makes me feel closest to, I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but one thing that makes me feel closest to who my ethereal being is or who I am as a person is dancing and tap dancing and finding nuanced ways of performing or different ways of doing things. I think that would be probably one of the things, because it kind of like I'm starting to find new stuff inside myself when we're still working on things, especially like you would go to acting class or vocally working on new songs. It's just like to keep you sharp. And I just love it. It's awesome.
Our next question is from Camille. And she says, she just basically says, how to have confidence. And I know this is a question we get all the time on here, just about the topic of confidence. And what, I guess, to kind of formulate that more of a question for you is, what kind of leads you into letting go? Because I feel like you are a person, when you get into the room, you just do it and it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. You're going to try your best and just make the best of the situation. So what goes through your head, either in an audition or just in a situation that is not familiar to yourself? How do you push forward with your best foot?
In moments like that, I really just try to think about the work. Whatever kind of work that we're doing, I just try to focus on that. Because if I start getting into my psyche about like, well, this could happen or this or whatever like that, for me, it's just like, let me just focus in on what's right in front of me and not worry about those other things, because that's literally all that I can do. And that kind of gives me confidence, because then it gets me out of my head. Because if I'm in my head too much, I'm not able to pick up the choreography. I might be off rhythm. I might be clunky with my feet, or I might be timid when I'm performing. But if I just focus in on like, I'm just trying to get this work and do this thing, then it kind of lets all the other things go for me.
I think that's also a testament to like, when you're in the room specifically, you only have control over so much, right? I think people think there
you don't
are
have
so
control over anything. Yeah, it's like there's so totally many things happening.
Yeah, so like don't try to put someone else's puzzle piece together. So I think it's important for people to kind of go into a situation to be like, okay, what is actually for me? What do I control in this moment? And kind of hone in on that rather than getting overwhelmed with the scope of the environment or the situation.
Yeah. Because I think one of the other things is that nobody's worried about you. Nobody's mm-hmm. worried about you. Yeah. Everybody, the choreographer has to worry about a director that they have to work together with. They have producers that they have to work with. They have dance captains, associates. They have so much going on. And your other ensemble people or the people that you're dancing with, they have, who knows what kind of home life they have. They might have kids. They might like, there's so many things going on in everybody's heads that if you think that everybody is looking at what you're doing or waiting for you to make a mistake the whole time, ain't nobody think about that.
Nope.
Everybody's just trying to get their paycheck and go home. Mm. So it's like, as long as you think like, I'm just going to go in there and I'm just going to do my thing and not worry about anything else, because nobody's worried about you. Because the thing is, people are wanting you to do well. Nobody comes into a rehearsal being like, oh, that person's going to be terrible. I really don't think that that's happening, because they're already putting a gamble on you. They're already gambling on you to be great by giving you the mm-hmm. paycheck. That's what the mm-hmm. producer does every single time that they hire somebody. They're betting that you are going to come in and do your job and be great. So mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing. If you just stay focused on whatever the work is, then you're going to be fine. And stuff happens.
Totally.
Always. Always. Love that. I think there's something about like the knowing that everyone should be, I mean, they are in fact cheering for your success rather than
yeah.
hoping for your failure, which I think we always get into this weird spiral of if one thing goes wrong in any kind of audition or rehearsal, like, oh God, I'm terrible. And everyone knows I'm terrible. Everyone's looking at me now. No, everybody's moved on and everyone's just like, all right, they didn't get it this time. They're going to get it next time.
Yeah.
You know, that thought process rather than, oh, well, I'm not going to watch that person anymore.
I love yeah. your sentiment of nobody's worried about you.
Nobody's worried about you. There's so many things happening. And the reason why I say that is because that's what always used to go through my head when I was in, when I used to be in rehearsal and when I used to be younger, I would always just think like, oh my gosh, every single person in the entire room is looking at me and thinking that I suck. And I'm like, nobody's thinking about that. Everybody else is going over their choreography, their notes, all of these other things. Don't nobody care.
Nobody. Mm-mm.
What we do care about is this next segment that we like to call Shoulda Shot It.
Shoulda Shot It? All right.
So we want to know, essentially, if there's a moment in your life, whether it's like rehearsal or something you've witnessed or something in your own life like that has not been captured, of what is like that moment that has always stuck with you
that you wish somebody had captured.
Sure. Yes. Or that you witnessed of somebody else. They're like, oh, someone should have shot that.
Oh, I think somebody actually did get a video of this. So, Billy Porter, he was, oh, this is so good. So he was, we were in tech and, you know, especially with the people in that show, there was just so much talent in that show. So one time during tech, he was just talking about his life. And so we were talking about stories and things like that. And he was talking about when he was a kid and about how he auditioned for Oliver, like when he was in, when he was like a young, young kid. And I guess he didn't get Oliver, but he got, what's the character's name that comes in like halfway through?
Artful Dodger or the
Fagin?
Yes.
Dodger.
Mm-hmm. Fagin. Yes. So he got that instead. And he's like this 10-year-old kid. And he goes up to the director of the show and is like, what is this? Why didn't I get Oliver? And he was like, and the teacher was like, it's okay. This is a really, really good role. And he's like, no, it's not, blah, blah, blah. So then he ended up doing it, and then he got entrance applause. And he said, that's when I learned what entrance applause was. Or no, that's how I learned what a star entrance was. That's what it was.
Wow.
But it was just him talking, and it was like, and I think after that, like somebody in the orchestra started playing some Earth, Wind, and Fire just to like check out some keys. And then the entire cast just started singing. And so then they were mic checking everybody singing Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it was just like Stokes and Billy Porter and Audrey McDonald and Brooks and all of these people singing this. And you're just like, what am I getting to witness? This is brilliant. And so, yeah, I think that that would have been one of those things that I'm like, oh, man, I wish somebody had that. Oh, that, and when Savion, one of the women in the cast was like, this step is too hard to do in heels. And so Savion was like, somebody go get me some heels. So somebody went to, and he has big old feet. So somebody went to Capizio or LaDuca, I can't remember which one. But they went and got him some shoes, brought him back, and he did the whole thing that they said in heels. And he's like, I could do it. And they said, well, try to stand up while you do it too, rather than just being like down like this. And everybody started cracking up. So those are probably some of those moments that I was
That's
like,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So good. I would love to see the drag tap off of Savion Glover. I want to see that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I just bought some heel character shoes today too. I got myself some LaDuca. I'm like, I love being in some heels. So why don't I tap in them?
Ready. Hell yeah.
And we'll be here for that social media content too.
Done.
So
I trust the second I get them, you all will be seeing a video.
Oh my god, what is the character? The character.
Marcellus.
Marcellus.
Oh my god, Marcellus. It is so good to see you all. I know you guys are so happy to have me on your podcast.
She is. Well, we expect a tap video from her very, very soon.
Oh my goodness, I could never, but maybe.
And we will have her on her own episode, okay?
Oh my goodness, I would love that. You are so sweet to me. Oh,
that is incredible. Richard, you are just the greatest. Thank you so much for being here for this hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
So inspiring, and thank you for just opening up and sharing your story and advice and everything. You're the best.
Hey, it's Brendan.
Hey, it's Jack.
Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast.
Be sure to hop on over to our Instagram @again_podcast and give us a follow.
A like.
A comment.
A DM.
Because we want to hear from you.
Let us know how we're doing.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. And before you press next to play your next podcast,
hopefully it's us again,
go ahead and hit that subscribe button.
And give us a rating if you love what you're hearing.
Again from the Top is produced by Dory Berenstein.
And Alan Seals.
Stay tuned for our next 5, 6, 7, 8.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.